and welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Erin.
And I'm Emily.
And today we're going to be discussing the 1989 era and how this era successfully transitioned Taylor Swift from country superstar to pop superstar.
Yes. There was a lot of things that went into the PR strategy behind 1989. It was very carefully crafted.
Yes, and we'll be breaking down all of those different strategies and tactics today on our episode. So with that said, let's dig in.
Let's dig into the 1989 PR machine. Okay, so before we get into 2014, we should probably touch on the fact that Taylor had already dipped her toe into pop music with her album Red.
Yes, songs like I Knew You Were Trouble and We Are Never Getting Back Together were definitely a signal of things to come.
So these singles obviously were played on pop radio, which got more of an audience for Taylor.
Yes.
And successfully expanded her fan base.
Yes, and I do feel like Taylor was already a really big fixture in pop culture at the time of Red. Like, it's not as though you think of some country people today where if you're a fan of country music, you kind of follow along and you know them. I'm trying to think of an example.
Lauren Alena?
Not even. Maybe like
Carrie I was Underwood. Thinking
like, yeah, Carrie Underwood, Miranda Lambert, someone like those women. If you're into country music, you follow them, but if not, you don't really care about them. But with Taylor, I feel like everyone cared about her, regardless of whether they enjoyed country music or not.
And it was about her personal life.
Yes.
Which we'll definitely be getting into. Taylor very, very successfully made people aware of her personal life and let people into her personal life, which got them very invested.
Yes, and that's a common theme that we'll see, is that Taylor uses different strategies to make her fans feel like they're her friends.
Yes.
And that is a huge part, I think, of why she's so successful still to this day.
Absolutely. So, should we also touch on the fact of all of Taylor's relationships up to that point?
Yes.
Especially her relationship with Harry Styles.
Yes,
who, because as many people know, he was in the band One Direction, which is a pop band, and they were absolutely huge at the time. It was probably 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the two biggest stars getting together.
Yeah, because I feel like the time that Harry and Taylor were together was the time that One Direction was like at its peak probably.
Yeah.
And I mean, people might argue that this isn't necessarily true, but I would say probably Harry was like the biggest person out of One Direction, the one that everyone knew.
Oh, yeah.
And the one that everyone talked about most.
I would say Harry and Zayn, probably.
Yeah, but I feel like Harry even more so. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely always the breakout, for sure.
So, there's that.
So, do you think that Taylor and Harry were an organic relationship, or do you think they were more for PR?
Yeah, I don't know that much about their relationship, because there's not that much out there about it, right?
Yeah, there isn't.
So I could definitely buy into the idea that they were put together as, like, a PR relationship, but maybe, like, they were actually dating because they enjoyed each other's company. But it is hard to say because there's really not that much out there about them.
But you have to admit it fits the narrative perfectly, how she was trying to transition from country to pop, and she gets with, like, the biggest pop star.
That is kind of what I would say. Like, I guess you could say that they just weren't real at all, or that they were set up to promote each of their careers, and then it turned into something real. I think it's, like, either of those two things. I don't really see that they got together on their own.
No. I don't think so either.
So that would be my two schools of thought, I guess. But I'm not really sure. I guess you have to listen to the songs and see which ones you think are about Harry, which is, again, that's why she's so successful. Part of it, at least.
They can be taken so many different ways.
So,
yeah. So now that we have those two things cemented, that Taylor was gaining a lot of traction after her singles in the Red era, and she was also dating Harry, let's move on to March 2014 when Taylor Swift moves to New York City.
Yes.
She made a very big deal about the fact that she was moving from Nashville to New York City. And I think that's very significant because the location of 1989 is what made it really great and what made that era so special, I think.
Yes, and we have an episode about her move to New York, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite episode that we've
done. So you should check that one out if you want to hear more about that particular subject.
There was a lot of criticism that Taylor got when she moved to New York City. Let's just say that.
But I also think of the time, well, I guess, does Taylor still have a place in New York? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she was, like...
she was just there during Red TV.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, anyway. After SNL, they went there and stuff.
But she was living in New York primarily at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, when I think of that time, I think of all of the paparazzi photos of Taylor like, strutting around New York City. Like, those are all so iconic, I feel
with
like.
With the, like, crop tops and everything.
The crop top and the, like, flouncy skirt and the really high heels.
I also think it was such a thing when she went to the gym. Like, everyone always talked about how she, when she came out of the gym, she had her hair, like, perfect and she had, like, a really nice outfit on.
Yes, so that was a fun time getting all of those photos of her just kind of, like, strutting around New York.
We should also mention quickly that it was during this time that she was cementing her squad or her friend group, especially with Karlie Kloss.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's also an episode we've done talking about the squad.
Yeah.
So we won't get too into that because we already have. But yes, those things... It's just amazing how you move through the timeline and just how she's, like, building up to this 1989 era and her transition into pop. So it's like, okay, now she's in New York City. She has
all
these...
setting. We have the supporting actors.
She has all her girlfriends and she's got the paparazzi around the city. And when you think of Nashville versus New York...
It's such a different vibe.
Yes, it's a very different vibe, and I feel like the vibe of New York City definitely matches 1989
a lot. Yes, it does.
At this point in time, Taylor was very active on Instagram,
too. And she wasn't dating.
Yeah, so I remember, I think I had Instagram at the time. Pretty sure.
Yeah, in preparation for this, I looked on this account that's called, like, Old Taylor Instagram, so I was, like, looking at all of... the Instagrams from this time, and she posted with her friends all the time.
Yeah, and I remember it was all, because I'm pretty sure I followed her at the time, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you definitely did.
That sounds about right. But I remember it was a lot of very wholesome content, like her hanging out with her friends, having, like, dinner parties, baking, watching movies, like, dressing up, all this kind of stuff. So I definitely think that was a big part of her image at the time, because like you said, she was single at this time and she was really focusing on her friendships. And yeah, I never really thought about that, but I do think the fact that she was single and she did have this big friend group and she posted a lot on Instagram made her probably more relatable in a way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's hanging out with her girlfriends and she's baking. Like, that's something I do with my girlfriends.
I think we kind of covered what happens from March 2014 to August 2014. It's, like, a lot of the same. Taylor's posting on Instagram. I did notice when I was looking through, she started wearing, like, the iconic crop tops and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she cut her hair. And she was very into the New York aesthetic. And she just posted a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
But... the real fun comes on August 18th, 2014, when Taylor announces via Yahoo Livestream that she is going to be releasing her new album, 1989. I still remember watching the live stream. It's such a cute live stream.
Is that when she's, like, at the top of the Empire State
That's
building?
The beginning of it, yeah.
Oh, okay,
and then it's, like, that room.
Yeah,
and she plays Shake It Off, and then she's like, I have one other surprise for you. I have
a
new album.
Yes, I remember when Shake It Off came out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely, because I was like, I feel like I do remember watching that live stream. Yes, I totally remember that, because I remember Shake It Off came out, and that was a huge song. It was everywhere, but I liked it at first until it got old. But yeah. I was just like, as always, I was so happy and excited to have new Taylor content that I was like, oh, this song's amazing, and I played it all the time.
And leading up to the video, she did post Easter eggs, which I thought was interesting. I kind of forgot about that. She posted a skyline, and then she posted, it was like her elevator, but she did 18 to be like August 18th.
See, I wasn't as into the whole thing at that time.
Yeah.
I would probably describe myself as like a casual fan at this point in time. I followed her on Instagram, like, I kept up with her, I listened to all her music, I bought all the albums, but I wasn't that invested in her life, I guess, or, like, the Easter eggs or anything like that.
We were, like, basically just into the music. I knew, like, nothing about her personal life.
Yeah, so I would say we're, like, casual fans at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I guess more than casual, because we obviously bought the albums, we listened to all of it, and we, like, played it on repeat all day, every day, but I don't know. I don't know how you would describe that. Anyway, we were not that into her personal life.
Yeah. And then for the third clue, she posted just like Yahoo, I think it was. It just said Yahoo, which is very interesting that she would choose to do a live stream to announce the album.
Yeah, I feel like that is part, it kind of plays into this whole strategy we've been talking about, where a live stream maybe feels more casual. It feels more like she's
just hanging out with her friend.
Yeah, she's talking directly to you as a fan versus an interview on like a morning show or just a post on social media. Like a live stream is more interactive.
Yeah, and during the live stream, she took fan Q&As from Instagram, Skype, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, she was engaging her fans, and then she did it in a very, very casual way. She had the set decorated kind of like one of her homes.
Mm-hmm.
It was, she had, like, rugs and pillows. It was very chill.
Yes.
And I believe she did the same thing when she announced Red.
I'm not sure about that, but
I know she did.
Again, not into her, not that into it at that point.
Yeah. So after that, you know, Shake It Off comes out, the music video comes out, and Taylor is in the public consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
She tries something new at this era. In September 2014, she has secret sessions, her first secret sessions in Los Angeles, New York City, Nashville, Rhode Island, and London. And each secret session, she invites 89 fans.
Okay, so yeah, secret sessions, if you don't know, which you probably do, but if you don't, Taylor Nation, which is Taylor's PR firm, I guess, they picked out a bunch of her fans. Just, I don't really know what the qualifications.
I think it was just like people who had active fan accounts on social media.
So like I think they went on what, like Tumblr, Instagram, Twitter, things like that.
Oh, that's another thing. Taylor got very, very into social media at this time. And she made her Tumblr, I believe, like about August 2014.
Tumblr, so 2014.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they picked out these groups of fans and then they got sent to each of Taylor's homes, you know, each group respectively. And Taylor played the album for them at her home. And it was all very secretive and undercover and they couldn't tell anybody, but they got to hear the album a few months early.
So what do you think the secret sessions did then for her PR strategy?
I definitely think, again, I don't want to keep saying it, but if we look at the whole era as a whole, I think you can definitely pick out what the strategies were, and this also is no exception. It definitely was an interactive way of promoting the album, and it made these fans who went to the secret sessions obviously feel very close to Taylor and felt like, wow, like, she's my friend, I'm at her house listening to her album, like, this is probably how she plays the album for her close friends and her close family, and now I get to hear it this way. So there's that aspect of it, and then there's also the aspect when the public hears about it, which is that, oh, wow, like, Taylor Swift invited fans to her house. Like, wow, that's so cool. She played the album for them. Like, wow, she really, really loves her fans. And that's so special. Like, not everyone does that. Or does anyone do that?
No. Yeah, that's so, so true. She got very good publicity for this. Like, everyone was like, wow, she goes above and beyond, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons that she's successful, because she always takes the extra steps.
Mm-hmm.
And she just puts little, like, touches on everything.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, like, oh, she only did this for the good publicity, because obviously,
and she kept it going for all the other eras, too.
Well, yes, and I'm sure, of course, that was a part of it, but she didn't have to do that if she didn't want to. There were other ways of accomplishing the same thing, I think.
And she would have sold a ton of albums, like, no matter what.
So. Yeah, and I think there were definitely other ways of accomplishing what this accomplished, but she did it, obviously, because she wanted to. So, you know, I think, or I don't think, there's definitely an aspect of it that was part of her publicity, but then again, she did it because she wanted to.
Yeah, and then at the secret sessions, like Aaron said, she played the album and she made cookies and she took Polaroids with everyone that went.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely making a very personalized experience. What I wouldn't give to have gone to one of these.
Before.
I definitely would have loved to do that.
I would have chose Reputation secret session.
Definitely. But then I was thinking, you go to the secret session, you hear the album, you're like, wow, this is amazing, I love it so much, and then you have to wait, like, oh my God, month and a half for the actual album to come out, so you're, like, given this taste, and then she's taken away.
Imagine you listen to Reputation, and then you have to wait a month for it.
That would suck, so, but, you know, it would all be worth it, obviously.
So, like Aaron said, the secret sessions put a very personal touch on the era. It made Taylor feel close to her fans. It made her fans feel close to her. And it got her very good press. Like, yes. If you look at, there is a YouTube video of the 1989 secret sessions. And all the comments are like, oh my gosh, Taylor's so sweet. She goes above and beyond. Mm-hmm. Like, all that kind of stuff.
And wasn't another aspect of the secret sessions that for the next one, so the next album would have been Reputation, didn't it kind of create, like, more publicity for her in the sense that people who had Tumblrs, people who had Twitters, like, they posted so much more because they wanted to get noticed, to get invited. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that was an intended effect, but that is, I think, an effect of it, that all of her fans were, like, upping the ante and trying to get noticed. So it gave her even more...
Yeah.
Exposure.
That's true. Okay, let's skip to the day when everything happens and 1989, the album comes out.
I still remember that day.
Oh my gosh. October 27th, 2014. The album standard and deluxe editions are released. In the US and Canada, the deluxe edition was available exclusively through Target.
You better believe we hauled our butts over to Target that day.
Yes. And I should also mention the songs Out of the Woods and Welcome to New York were released as promotional singles on October 14th and 20th.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
So, and we know Welcome to New York, she did, and she donated all the proceeds to New York Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
I should also mention that it was at this time Taylor took all of her music off of Spotify on November 3rd, 2014.
And that was because she felt that the artists were not getting fair compensation for streaming.
Yeah, and we'll definitely be doing an episode about that soon. Mm-hmm. But that was the time when she signed a deal with Apple Music. And she did the commercials for them. You know that one commercial of her on the treadmill when she, like, falls off?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so let's talk about the day that 1989 was released.
Okay.
What do you remember about it?
I remember going to Target.
and that's another thing. You needed to get the Polaroids.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's another strategy mm-hmm. that she did, because you're like, oh, I need to get all the Polaroids. I have to get, like, two albums.
Well, I only got one, but I did get the deluxe edition. Well, we did. And we got the Polaroids, which made you feel like that was your friend Taylor. Like, oh, I have all these pictures of her.
Polaroid I still pictures. Have the Polaroids. They're so... I love them. They're so iconic.
So I remember going to Target and then... You know, obviously listening through the album a million times that weekend, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if I could recall which song stuck out to me at the time.
Mine was Blank Space.
Yes, I really liked Blank Space.
But we also, I remember, because we had Spotify, but we had to buy it on Apple Music. We bought the digital copy as well, because I remember we listened to it on the Bluetooth speaker.
I remember I liked Style. I liked Blank Space. I think I really liked This Love or You Are In Love. I think I liked You Are In Love. Those, if I can remember correctly, were the standouts. I remember Taylor, of course, prepared everyone for the fact that this would be a different sound than we were used to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot to mention that on the Yahoo live stream. She said, I just want to let everybody know this is my first pure pop album. Mm-hmm.
Which I think I was excited about because...
Oh, yeah, me too.
I honestly, that's pretty much all I listen to, like, pop music. So I was really excited to hear a pop album from Taylor, and it did not disappoint.
And along that line, I also want to say, I think we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but Scott Borchetta was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted her to include 3 country songs on the album, but she said no.
Yeah, which I'm glad that she did, because to have 3 random country songs would
not be
weird. And I guess it'd be kind of like Red, how it's sort of a mishmash of different kind of sounding music. But 1989 is definitely all very pop.
Yeah, so Taylor herself was the creative director of the album's packaging, which I really didn't know.
No, I didn't know that either.
But... And as we said, each copy of 1989 included a packet, 1 of 5 available sets of 13 random Polaroids made up of 65 different pictures. So,
I wonder,
there was a lot of CDs to buy if you wanted all of them.
Yes, I'd be curious to know how many people bought all
5. Oh my gosh, definitely a lot of people. And that reminds me also of the Lover era when she did the diaries.
Yes.
Like the 4 diaries.
Wait, but then how do you know that you're getting a different set? Do you, like, look in?
That's why you have to, like, buy a bunch of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So on November 10th, Blank Space was announced as the next single of 1989, and the music video was leaked a day early, because I think it was supposed to come out November 11th, but it was leaked by Yahoo a day early. That music video...
It's the best music video ever.
It is. It's the best music video ever, for sure. We watched that.
So many times.
So many times. I can't even begin to describe.
Well, it's just, okay, so there's a lot of things that go into it. Number one is that Blank Space is a great song. So, great music video because of that. Second, just the overall vibe and the overall aesthetic of the music video was so beautiful. And then the third and most important thing, obviously, were the outfits.
Oh my god. There are so many outfits to keep track of.
And they were all better than the next. And it's just such an iconic music video. So many good gifts came out of that. Mm-hmm. The one of Taylor...
With the phone above the pond.
Yeah, the phone in the pond, the one of her scratching her fingernails down the wall with her makeup all over her face and the leopard outfit. Throwing the clothes over the balcony, yeah, right?
The cake with the knife.
Yes. Oh my gosh, so many.
It's a masterpiece.
It's just the best, so.
And along with that video, Taylor partnered with American Express and did, I don't know if it's a 360, but there was like an app experience where... You could, like, put yourself into the music video. It was, like, you could see every angle of all the rooms in the music video.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's another way that she was expanding the fan experience throughout the era. And during the weeks after 1989 came out, like, probably the next 2 weeks, she was on every single talk show and late night show known to man. She hustled.
It kind of reminds me of, I mean, not as much, but with Red, Taylor's version, how she was on, like, every single, like, show.
She was on literally, I saw on her Instagram, she posted this graphic. It was, like, every show she was gonna be on, and it was, like, so many.
Every single
like,
one.
Like, Ellen, Jimmy Kimmel, The View.
Didn't she go on The Talk?
The Talk, like, literally every single thing.
Yes.
If there was a morning show or late night show, she was on it. And all throughout this time, as I was saying, Taylor was showcasing her personal life.
Mm-hmm.
She took pictures of herself in Target with the album.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, had a picture of her mom in Target, or I think she was in Walmart, actually. She had a picture of her mom in Walmart with the album. She had all of her friends with the album because she went to Target with her friends and they all took pictures with the album, so. I think another thing that made Taylor successful also was that she was in a ton of commercials at this time and she had a lot of promotional deals.
Yes, I remember going to New York around this time and her face was plastered on like everything.
Yeah, she had the Welcome to New York campaign.
Well, then also the Diet Coke or whatever, Pepsi.
Yeah, so she had promotions with Target, Diet Coke, American Express, Keds, and Subway.
Yeah, I just remember like everywhere you turned, like it was all these different like advertising campaigns with her face on it.
And that's another thing we should mention, literally everywhere you turned at this time, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was absolutely inescapable.
Yes, which had a lot of consequences.
But it had a lot of consequences, but I literally couldn't find anything bad about her at this time besides the Welcome to New York stuff.
Well, yeah, because this was, like, as we've kind of talked about in the past, this was her peak. So, like, okay, she's allowed to reach this peak, mm-hmm. but once she's at the peak, it's time to tear her down. So they weren't ready to tear her down yet.
Like, she got such good coverage at this time.
But we're just going to focus on the positive today.
Yeah. So with Target, she did a lot of commercials about the album. I don't know if you've watched them.
Yeah, I'm sure I have at some point.
And then Diet Coke, she did a lot of commercials with. And then that was obviously everywhere, like stadiums and wherever Diet Coke is sold. American Express, she did that Blank Space music video experience with. And then Keds, she had 1989 Keds. Have you seen them?
Yes, I always wanted a pair, but I never got
one. The ones I saw were, like, the pattern that she wears on the cover. Yes. With the seagulls.
Because that's, like, another So 2014 thing, are the Keds. I had a pair, but they weren't Taylor's pair, even though I really wanted them.
And then her Subway endorsement, I was, like, shocked by that. I didn't remember that at all, but she was just on the cups.
I feel like I vaguely remember that.
So what do you think all those promotions did for her? Just more of getting her face out there?
Yeah, I think it's just exposure, honestly. Because, like I said, I do feel like most people already knew who she was before this, at least in the U.S. But I guess, yeah, that could be part of it, too.
Globally?
That, yeah, because this was also, I feel like, around the time that she really got into her global stardom, whereas before, mm-hmm. maybe she was only well-known in the U.S.
Yeah, that's actually a really
so
good point.
Maybe those advertising campaigns helped her become more recognizable globally.
Yeah, especially with Diet Coke, I would say.
Yeah.
We should also mention that when it comes to the music of 1989, Taylor worked with renowned pop producers Max Martin and Shellback, mm-hmm. and Jack Antonoff. So she kind of ditched all the people that she was working with her country music,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of start fresh and shift away from that.
Yes, a whole new sound.
We talked about this when we talked about the Secret Sessions, but Taylor was extremely, extremely active on social media at this time. Her team did a bunch of hashtags, which is like so 2014, but mm-hmm. they had a ton of hashtags. She did daily countdowns to the album coming out with lyrics, and she did all these different graphics with lyrics counting down the days.
I remember that.
Yeah. She was very active on Tumblr, and she mm-hmm. would call it, it was called Taylurking.
Yes.
And that Taylurking actually paid off in December of 2014 with Swiftmas. which is when she sent select fans a huge box of Christmas gifts that were curated by her, and she wrote them notes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
I wish I could have gotten one.
Of course, who doesn't?
But, yeah, I think, again, similarly to the Secret Sessions, that Swiftmas promotion definitely helped her image. Not that she needed, like, image rehab, but I think it was positive publicity. But then again, I don't think she did it only for that reason, because it was a lot of effort to send out all these gifts to all her fans. And, you know, it was a lot of money, I'm sure, too. So she only did it because she wanted to. No one forced her to do this. She didn't have to do it, but it helped.
Yeah, and it's just, like I said, it really is. It's when you go to a store and there's, like, a little touch or something, mm-hmm. or, like, free water, or you order something from Etsy and it has, like, pretty packaging and a nice thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the little touches that go above and beyond.
Yes.
And I think that's what she was kind of taking
mm-hmm.
inspiration from. She didn't have to do this. A lot of celebrities don't. Most don't. But she did it because I'm sure some of it was the promotion that it would cause and all the articles that would mm-hmm. be written, but from what I could tell from watching the video about it, she collected all the gifts for, like, a really long time, and
mm-hmm.
she wrapped them herself, which I don't know if she actually did.
In the video she posted, yeah. you could see her wrapping multiple different items. Whether she wrapped all of them, I guess we'll never know, but she did wrap at least some of them.
Yeah, and I remember specifically our grandma showed us that video, and she was like, look how sweet Taylor is. Oh my God. She sent gifts to her fans.
Yes.
I truly remember that, which is so funny.
I was just going to reiterate the fact that, okay, maybe it wasn't 100% out of the goodness of her heart, but it was like at least 50%, because it was a lot of effort and money, and it helped her image, but also I think she just wanted to do it.
And you figure by that point, all the albums were already sold.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like the Secret Sessions where she still had to, like, sell the albums, but
yeah, I do think it came from a place of genuine appreciation for her fans.
Yeah. All right, now I'm going to read a few little quotes from articles that I found that maybe will spark some discussion. I really like this quote. It's from the article, A Masterclass in Marketing Taught by Taylor Swift, from Forbes by Rob Schwartz. It says, on Instagram, she's revealing new song lyrics one post at a time with nicely art-directed torn pages of a journal. On Tumblr, you can simply follow along on her life's journey. It's her narrative, and it plays like a real-life documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that quote. Because it's so true.
And I should say this because that just kind of sparked this in my mind. I've always gotten the sense, and I think probably most of Taylor's fans do as well, that she really is the one in control. And she is the one who is dictating all of this. Like, you can definitely tell with 1989 and everything else that the way that these strategies played out and the way that she did all this was, like, coming from her. And obviously she has a whole team of people who help her, but I feel like it's mostly coming from her.
Yeah, I appreciate it because a lot of the articles I saw gave her credit
mm-hmm.
and were like, she's an incredible businesswoman. She knows what she's doing. Like,
yeah.
And it was nice, like, to see that.
I feel like that is why, or part of why she's so successful, because an artist can hire the best PR person in the world, they can hire, like, the best team of people, but if it's not their strategy and if it's not, like, genuine to them,
yeah, exactly.
it's not gonna work, because these are things Taylor's thinking of, things that she wants to do, her ideas, and she's putting them into effect, and it's working because it's very genuine.
Yeah, I just like the part where it says that if you looked on her Instagram, it was playing out like a real-life documentary. Like we said, we had the location, New York, we had the supporting characters, like all of the squad, Carly Kloss,
mm-hmm.
all of them. And, you know, they would just do a lot of different things. And she had the past relationships that we were looking out for, like what the lyrics were going to say about them,
mm-hmm.
especially Harry, you know,
yep.
because 1989, a lot of people believe is about Harry. So people were kind of waiting to see what she would say about that relationship. So all the pieces were so perfectly put together.
Yes. And that leads me to just a quick question. Do you think, okay, let's just say Harry and Taylor were fake. They were just PR. They were never actually a couple. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying, as a hypothetical, do you think they didn't really say much about it? There was, like, really nothing about it so that everyone would turn to the songs to hear her take on it?
Well, he did songs, too.
Yes.
I think when it comes to that quote, it was all about investment. And that's another thing. People wanted to know what her pure pop music would sound like.
Yes.
And that was another investment that people had. This is just a very small quote. It's from the New York Times article, Taylor Swift Maximizes Use of Social Media and Release of New Album by Ben Cesario. For most pop stars, the announcement of a new album is a pretty routine affair, but most pop stars are not Taylor Swift. I mean, that just says it all.
It's true. And I miss when Taylor would post more on social media.
Yeah.
Those were good times.
I really liked this article, too. It's called, On 1989, Taylor Swift Became a True Pop Star from Vulture by Sasha Geffen. It says, from its first single, 1989 positioned itself as an album about being looked at. Its bizarre tourism jingle of an opener wasn't just this decade's most obvious product placement, it also painted an explicit backdrop for all the songs that followed, as if inviting you to pin each lyric to a paparazzi photo. Swift even described her outfits to give you a head start. Which is another quote about the investment of it all.
Yes. There was just a whole experience.
Yeah. They go on to say, if country music aims to be relatable, to take even a relationship with another A-lister and boil it down to its gritty human elements like Swift did with Dear John, then pop indulges the aspirational. Unlike pop songs that entertain the idea of fame or wealth as the singer's birthright, 1989 asked its listeners to imagine how bizarre it would be if they woke up tomorrow with a Manhattan condo and a boyfriend who was a member of One Direction. Mm-hmm. So that's another part of it, the aspirational aspect. You know, living in New York, having all these friends, having all these parties, having a famous boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, yeah. And that's, I feel like, I guess, around this time was, would you say, I don't know, when social media was, like, really starting to get big.
Absolutely, like 2015.
So I feel like that definitely plays a role in it that she was posting so much because, as we know, social media is all about the aspiration and the photos and the experiences that Taylor was having were definitely aspirational.
And speaking of aspirational, she included her whole friend group in the Bad Blood video that came out in May 2015.
Yes. Another iconic moment.
I cannot believe I was in high school when that came out. It doesn't even feel that long ago.
Yeah. It's crazy.
We talked a lot about the Bad Blood music video in our Katy Perry episode, which I really like, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes. Yes. We've covered we've covered very
pretty much every
aspects of this episode in greater detail, so we're just kind of doing an overview. But yeah, the Bad Blood video is definitely a big moment with the squad and everyone else.
And then we can close out the era and then kind of speak broadly to finish out, but I'll just say the album's tour, which was called the 1989 World Tour, ran from May to December 2015. And we should mention during the 1989 World Tour, she brought out a ton of celebrities, including her squad members.
Yes. Oh yeah, that was a big thing too. I forgot about that.
People would wait on bated breath to see who she would bring out each night.
It's just so, sometimes her
mind.
Her genius just scares me a little bit, but
doesn't she have that one quote? I don't even know who she's talking about it in, but I know it's on TikTok when she's like, her mind is so powerful, it would scare people if they knew how smart she is. I don't know who she was talking about.
But it's funny either. I mean, yeah, could very well be talking about herself. No. I know, but I'm saying, like, it describes her perfectly.
Yeah.
So I guess just kind of stepping back and looking at this era now.
Yeah, let's think about
8 years later.
Oh my god. That's insane.
Yes, because it started in 2022. I cannot wait
for 1989 TV to relive this whole era. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was definitely just an iconic moment in pop culture. Everyone was talking about Taylor. Everyone knew her.
It was inescapable, like I said.
Yes.
Everywhere you went on social media or anything, she would be there. She was on all these ads.
So I would describe 1989, not necessarily the height of Taylor's career, but I would say it was definitely the height of her relevancy.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and, you know, as we just talked about, there are many, many reasons for that. It didn't just happen naturally.
No, there's very coordinated PR campaign.
Yes, and it worked.
And I did read that Big Machine put everything into this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, they put all their resources into this campaign. And their campaign paid off because, as we know, Taylor Swift, like, swept the Grammys in 2015 or 16.
And
I think it was 26.
The Grammys seemed to be the most important thing to Taylor. Yeah. No hate, but seems to be true. Looking back, I guess, in time, the transition of Taylor from the country star to pop superstar, global superstar. I don't want to ask if it worked, because obviously it worked. But what do you see as, like, the top reasons that it worked so well?
If I'm being honest, I think a lot of it had to do with her past relationships with, including Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not to mention, the single choices were so on point in mm-hmm. this era. The singles were amazing.
Yeah, Shake It Off, Blank Space.
Like, yeah, they were picked perfectly.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge reason because, you know, they were on the radio and people loved them.
Yeah, I think it's just definitely the personal relationship aspect of it. Definitely the personal relationship with the fans, that aspect of it, I think really kind of solidified Taylor into being, like, America's sweetheart. Like, she's such a sweet, nice person. Like, how could you not want to
be your
for
best
her?
Friend.
Yes, and how could you not want to see her succeed? So that definitely was part of it. But then I would say just all of the things that we've just talked about that made her be everywhere, I think that's, like, something that I underestimate a lot, where if someone's just, like, in your face all the time, you can't help but, like, be interested in what they're doing. And I kind of think about Red, Taylor's version, mm-hmm. which I didn't think was going to be, like, as like big as it was. But I feel like since it just was everywhere, like, people couldn't help but be curious about it. So then it just kind of, like, creates this ripple effect where it's like, oh, well, everyone keeps talking about Red, Taylor's version, like, let me check it out. So I feel like it was kind of the same thing where I keep seeing Taylor Swift everywhere. I keep hearing about 1989. Fine, I guess I'll check it out.
But along those lines, you check it out and she has the talent to back it up.
Well, yeah.
And you see how good she is to the fans and people are like, I want to be a fan of her.
Yes.
And she expands her fan base that way.
None of this would have worked if she wasn't talented, obviously. That's a given here at Our American Queen.
Can you think of any other pop star that has successfully done this as to the degree of Taylor? I think of Dua Lipa, but it's nowhere near this.
But this was a whole changing of genres.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't really think, I don't know. Has anybody else done that?
I mean, I'll get to that, but I think Dua Lipa really, I don't think the fan aspect she copied, but a lot of this she copied with Future Nostalgia.
Yeah, I don't know much about her.
She had a ton of campaigns that she did. I think I forget what hard seltzer she was the face of, but she did that. She was the face of maybe like some Gucci perfume. She was on every talk show, always performing at everything.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of that. But we did see recently Kacey Musgraves try to be a pop star. And she was doing all the same things that Taylor did. And
yeah,
it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Because I remember when she was signing all these deals over the summer before Starcrossed came out, like, people be like, oh, this is what Taylor did. Like, she mm-hmm. she expanded globally, her label and stuff like that. And she was, like, switching at the Grammys. Like, she submitted as pop or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
I remember specifically she made the exact same move Taylor did. Her label made her global or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
it definitely was not as successful as 1989.
I just can't think of any modern comparison.
Yeah, she didn't really, it didn't pay off. Taylor's did.
I just can't think of any other modern comparison.
Kelsea Ballerini, has she even, like, gone pop?
Mm-mm.
I guess you could kind of look at Maren Morris, maybe, a little bit. But she's not even, I don't think she made a conscious effort to switch from country to pop. I think she just kind of does both.
Yeah, her first album is Demon Country, really.
Yeah, so. I think she's kind of just like a hybrid
like
of
adult
the two genres. Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of anybody who's done this on that massive of a scale.
I already know, like, once we finish, we'll be like, wait, it was this person.
Maybe, like, a long time ago that I wouldn't
Yeah, know. I'm just talking about, like, the last 20 years, or not even 20 years, like, 10 years.
I'm sure there's somebody
yeah.
that we're just not thinking of.
But anyway.
Yeah. 1989. What a time.
I think we can definitely do a few more episodes about different facets of 1989 because there's so much to dissect.
Yeah, because this was, as we said, like the most. Yeah, and this was like the most public Taylor's ever been, so there's so much material out mm-hmm. there about it. Whereas, like with Reputation, there's not as much to talk about. I think we'll leave it here.
Yeah, so these are the reasons why Taylor Swift catapulted into global superstardom. In the 1989 era.
Hope you enjoyed the episode, and we will see you next time.
Bye!